The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast. Ruthless but fair. Julia Hartley Brewer. Comprehensive coverage of all the news stories that matter to you.
Harder, older, Hartley Brewer.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast from Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Julia Hartley Brewer. You're with Talk TV. Now, Israeli forces have largely withdrawn from southern Gaza. The move comes 6 months after the Hamas attacks on October the 7th, marked yesterday, as Israel and Hamas have both sent delegations to Cairo to join fresh ceasefire negotiations. This as we have continuing pressure on the UK government to stop sending arms to Israel under legal treaties. Well, joining me right now to discuss this is barrister with UK Lawyers for Israel, Natasha Haustorf. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Also still with us of course, is Sam Armstrong, who's joining us for the whole show. Natasha, just want to ask you, first of all, in terms of what is happening in terms of withdrawal of forces and negotiations, does this suggest, and we know more aid is now going into Gaza, still not enough, does this present an easier backdrop for the British government in terms of its legal position, in terms of sending arms to Israel, if there are more negotiations, if more aid is going in, and if we don't have an imminent threat of a strike against Rafah by IDF forces? Does that ease the position for the British government, or does that have no bearing on it legally?
I don't think the position has changed at all. And in fact, that letter, which has been referenced, sent to the Prime Minister last week, was responded to pretty swiftly by a letter calling out the inaccuracies in it, the errors.
Can I clarify? This was a letter that was sent, like I said, three former Supreme Court judges, other 600 legal minds, the great and the good, basically saying we should suspend sales of arms to Israel because under our legal treaties, legal obligations, you know, we could be in breach of those, and urging the government to suspend those sales. This new letter has actually far more signatures and a similar level of the great and the good.
Supreme Court justices, Court of Appeal justices, former chairman of the bar. We've also had a former director of public prosecutions, Lord MacDonald, former justice ministers. So, yes, and far more signatures. Yesterday, I think it had already surpassed 1,200.
And what are they saying? Why are they saying it's fine for us to carry on sending arms to Israel?
Well, the first important purpose of the letter was to point out the serious error that the first letter fell into in terms of misstating what it was the International Court of Justice had determined in January of this year when it made that provisional order at the request of South Africa. But there were other errors in that original letter, for example, claiming that the Security Council resolution that was recently passed calling for an immediate ceasefire was in any way legally binding. It's unfortunately, in reality, it's a political resolution, yeah, not a legally binding one. And there was a reliance, unfortunately, on Hamas propaganda casualty figures in that initial letter also. So I don't think it's surprising that it's been called out so robustly in the first instance by the preeminent legal journalist Joshua Rosenberg, but very quickly that same day, subsequently by, as I say, over 1,200 lawyers, barristers.
Does any of this
judges
really matter, given that in terms of the arms that Israel has, less than 0.1% are actually provided by the UK, the vast majority either made in Israel, provided by America, actually an awful lot come from Germany. But does any of it really matter? Is this actually just sort of a dinner party principle virtue signal by a number of lawyers who wrote the initial letter and politicians, you know, showing to the electorate who are concerned about civilian deaths, oh, it's not us. Is this just virtue signalling and about principles, or does it actually have a practical implication for Israel and for Britain?
Well, two aspects to that. First, I would say this is the opposite of virtue signalling. If in its hour of need, the UK is prepared to abandon its ally Israel when Israel is essentially fighting our war for us against these Islamist fundamentalist terror organisations. But more importantly than that, it does have a practical impact because it serves to encourage Hamas. These misstatements about international law and misstatements about the factual legal and position on the ground serve, unfortunately, to encourage Hamas to prolong the conflict. They've walked away from those negotiations. The ceasefire proposal that was backed by the Americans, we've forgotten, it seems, entirely about the hostages, 133 of them that we know still and hope still to be alive in Gaza. And the debate, including the letter that we saw from the civil servants, which you referenced earlier, is being substantially influenced by this kind of...
Well, no, these are civil servants within the government who are saying that they feel that they would have to go on strike and couldn't work if there were... because they disapprove of government policy, if breaking the law, if they believe that, you know, sending arms to Israel. I mean, absolute abject nonsense. Just do shut up. You don't make policy, you're a civil servant. That's literally the point of your job.
But based on the misinformation which has now been called out by some of the most senior lawyers, former judges, solicitors, barristers in the country.
There it does seem, and we've discussed this before on the show with you, this complete mismatch of the public understanding of international law regarding warfare and the actual reality. Because, look, any reasonable person would be horrified by the deaths of any civilian, particularly children in Gaza. Anyone who's not horrified by that, frankly, is a monster. And also horrified by, yes, it doesn't matter more because they are British, but of course we feel more affinity. Three Brits who are working as aid workers among the seven who were killed in that aid convoy that were killed more than a week ago in Israel. Now, yeah, I know the IDF admitted very soon afterwards they did an investigation. It was them. It was a mistake. They've apologised. That doesn't make it OK for the families, friends and colleagues of those people. They've still lost their lives. But we're told, you know, this is a war crime. This means that we must stop supporting Israel. They are brutal monsters. They've done this horrible crime. Under international treaties, under international understandings of law in terms of warfare, these things are accepted, tragically, as things that happen, aren't they?
Well, this is a big tragedy that friendly fire incidents are a significant percentage of casualties in any conflict. Israel has had friendly soldiers from the IDF killed in friendly fire. There was the incident of the three hostages who were also shot in this tragic incident with the World Central Kitchen workers. What international law is based on is not an effects-based analysis, but an intention-based analysis. And Israel has been consistently clear about not just the way it upholds international law, but about the way that it goes far above the requirements of international law. And only yesterday, I interviewed John Spencer, who is an American. He teaches urban armed conflict. He's the head of urban armed conflict at West Point in the United States. And he's been on the ground in Gaza and has consistently said, as a result of what he's seen, that Israel has gone further than any other army in the history of warfare, in the context where Hamas, of course, is seeking to use its breaches of international humanitarian law to its advantage. Israel has gone further.
By using
civilians as human shields, using hospitals, schools, clinics, ambulances. We know from testimony from the hostages that were successfully released that Hamas had been transporting them in ambulances. And so John Spencer and others, Colonel Richard Kemp, have been very clear, having been on the ground there, about the standards that Israel is adhering to. And all of this, of course, is being misrepresented by those. I've spoken to a number now of the signatories of that original letter who have essentially said that they've based their assessment on what they've seen on television. Well, isn't that an indictment of how the media, broadly speaking, has been covering?
If they'd been watching this show, then they might have actually had a more sensible view of it all. And I mean, let's come to you, Sam Armstrong. Look, we've talked about this again and again in the last 6 months, but it does still amaze me the number of people who are absolutely outraged by the death of civilians and the conduct of war when it's Israel, but never seem to have any issue at all with, you know, Assad murdering en masse, on a huge scale, his own civilians. Remarkably unbothered about Saudi Arabia and people in Yemen. Remarkably unbothered about, you know, what China is doing to the Uyghur people. I mean, it is extraordinary how selective people are with the countries and the victims that they choose to care about.
There are people that are sitting and waiting, ready for Israel to make the slightest slip-up in order to pounce on it. We saw it earlier in the conflict where it was suggested that Israel had bombed a hospital. It turned out it was, in fact, Palestinian Hamas terrorists. They are gleeful. They are rubbing their hands with delight at any chance to pile on to the only Jewish nation on earth. Now, there are an awful lot of commentators, some on the left of politics, British politics, that say that it has nothing, that it's just a sheer coincidence that the only Jewish country on earth is the one country they single out for particular scrutiny, particular criticism that goes far beyond that of any other country. I don't believe it.
No.
I've reached the point now where I think Israel is being held to not just a higher standard, but a standard that simply doesn't exist in any other armed conflict in the history of war.
And certainly not a standard we require of our own military, certainly. Can I also ask you, Natasha, about this extraordinary survey carried out by the Henry Jackson Society? They asked, they polled Muslims. They also polled a wider, you know, selection of the general public To see what the general view in this country is of things like Hamas and events on October the 7th, but also what British Muslims thought. The results are shocking. I mean, although interesting, as the Faisal Mughal, who founded the interfaith groups Tell Mama Faith Matters and Muslims Against Antisemitism, he said the findings are shocking, but also not shocking. Only one in four British Muslims, according to this survey, believe that Hamas did commit murder and rape in Israel on October the 7th, despite all the evidence that's been presented. They also found in this poll that 46% of British Muslims, so almost half of British Muslims, said they sympathise with Hamas, a proscribed terrorist group that has boasted openly about the atrocities they committed on October the 7th, has said they will repeat that on every occasion when they can, and whose entire, their constitution confirms they want the annihilation, not just of Israel, but the killing of every Jewish person, not just in Israel, but in the entire world. The fact that there are people living in this country, many will be British born and bred, same as me, who believe that a terrorist organisation is someone they should sympathise with, and that what has been reported in the news in the last 6 months is completely made up. What do you make of that?
Well, I looked at some of the raw data of that polling, and that included the question as to whether or not the respondents thought that Israel was committing genocide against the Palestinians. Yeah. 80% yeah. of the Muslims polled believed that to be correct, and amongst the wider population, it was 46%.
Yeah.
And the really, really concerning aspect, when you look at the breakdown of the figures, is that amongst the population that has been to university...
Yeah, it's higher.
It's higher.
Yes. And indeed, actually, in terms of whether or not Hamas committed murder and rape on October the 7th, roughly a third of the wider population don't believe it happened. What on earth is going on? Is this people sort of reading their own sort of echo chamber of social media? How on earth can people think that?
Well, certainly in terms of the way that the legal issues have been presented, and genocide is first and foremost in terms of the legal accusations that Israel is facing.
Well, people just need to get a dictionary to look up the word.
Or indeed read the letter that has yeah. been sent in response, which addresses the International Court of Justice proceedings on this. And of course, any time this issue is being addressed, the critical aspect of that definition of genocide is intention, and it doesn't have any application here. It is a blood libel that is being advanced. And because it has
These are anti-Semitic tropes, basically.
Well, absolutely. And when we think about, you know, the original blood libels, the anti-Semitic tropes in the Middle Ages, they were perhaps as widely believed as this polling now indicates that these falsehoods are being
terrifying
accepted.
Is the word I would use. Terrifying. We have a very, very big problem. And I think it's a very big problem across the whole of Western society. I mean, it's a damn sight bigger in the Middle East. But we have a problem. We've imported it here. I'm sorry, we have. Natasha, really appreciate you joining us. Natasha Hausdorff, she's a barrister with UK Lawyers for Israel. So what do you make of this poll?
You see, the poll is pretty sorry. It depends who you ask. The thing is, look, I think if we take a deep breath and look at the foundation of our very discussion should be how do we preserve life? That should be preservation of life on both sides, whether they're Israeli, Palestinian. Yeah. And that, if we count that as a starting point, and then work upwards from there, then we'll have a real proper discussion. Because look, the thing is, if we just roll out certain narratives and things, what that does, that just infuriates the situation. For that's put petrol on fire.
Well, hold on a minute. What you said at the beginning is lovely, but it's a bit kumbaya. Yeah, everyone wants to preserve life. However, you know, right of self-defence, people in Palestine, the Hamas believing, you know, their land's been, you know, stolen from them. They've got a right to take that land back. People are going to have their beliefs. What do you make, though, of 46% of British Muslims, people living here, probably many of them born in this country? There's actually a higher preponderance of people who are younger in this country who believe that, so more likely to have been born here, second or third generation in this country, saying that they are sympathetic to a proscribed terrorist organisation that carried out rape and murder 6 months ago.
See, the thing is, Julia, when you look at it in the full context of the discussion, you know, for decades this has been happening to the Palestinians. So any resistance or any...
Been happening to the Palestinians. Have the IDF been going in raping and murdering and killing children? I mean...
They've been taking prisoners. I mean, it's all documented.
They've been taking prisoners, yes.
They've been taking prisoners. You can say hostages on one side, because innocent people have been taken into Israeli prisons, thousands of them, even since the 7th of October. Yes. So the thing is, my point is...
People get taken captive by governments that are at war, but that's different from taking innocent civilians hostage. You are refusing to answer my question for the second time, Youssef. What do you make of people in this country supporting a proscribed terrorist organisation?
The thing is, Julia, like I said, because of they can't see any other solution right now to this, because nobody.
You're saying the people in this country who are supportive of this, and it won't just be Muslims; it will be other people, you know, on the far left as well. You're saying they support this because there is no other solution. There is always another solution other than killing and raping.
The solution is a two-state solution. That's the way I look
Hamas,
at it.
Hamas don't support a two-state solution.
Yeah, nor does Netanyahu, and look what he's doing. The thing is,
Netanyahu's a horrible man, but Hamas doesn't support a two-state solution. Why do these people support Hamas?
The thing is, Julia, like I said, look, the thing is, right now, anything on the table to oppose Netanyahu, anybody will go with that. That's the bottom line. Regardless of you call it Hamas, you call it...
I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but I'm just trying to clarify. You're saying that people here and in Gaza and other Palestinian people around the Middle East, you're saying they will support any organisation or any actions of any organisation as long as they are anti-Netanyahu. You realise that most of the people in Israel don't support Netanyahu.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, it's not about anti-Netanyahu, Julia. The point is, when innocents are being killed on a daily basis, and it's not Hamas fighters that are being killed.
It's Hamas fighters that are being killed as well.
But I'm saying the majority have been women and children.
Well, no, that's the claim from the Hamas-run health ministry. Given that half the population of Gaza is women and half the population of Gaza is also children, you're going to see a large number, and Hamas hides among the civilian population, you're going to see a large number of, tragically, of innocent civilians getting killed because that's Hamas's deliberate policy.
Yeah, but that's not excuse to kill innocent civilians. Supposedly,
it's not an excuse
Israeli
to target
army.
Them, but under international law, it is allowed. Actually,
No.
I'm still confused. You're still saying you can. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're saying you understand why such a large percentage of British Muslims support Hamas because there isn't any alternative.
No. What I'm saying is that everybody supports the safety of innocent civilians.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, as far as the UK government is concerned, as far as US is concerned, they don't seem to be answering anyone's call to a ceasefire for months and months.
How would we have a ceasefire if Hamas... Israel accepted the terms of the last ceasefire, which was agreed between, you know, people in Qatar and Egypt and the American CIA boss and others. It's Hamas that refused the terms. Hamas could have a ceasefire today, right now. I mean, literally, it's 11:35. They could just say, we're going to return the hostages, we lay down our weapons, ceasefire, job done.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's only on Netanyahu's terms and his government's terms. It has to be, you can't just say one-sided, we listen to whatever Netanyahu and his government say, and we have to abide by it.
But that's the whole point. You need to have both sides. It's Hamas that is refusing the ceasefire.
Yeah, but because they're not agreeing to Hamas's terms as well. But my point is, I would agree with Hamas in the sense that IDF should vacate Gaza immediately first.
But they weren't in Gaza on October the 6th. They weren't in Gaza until quite a few days after October the 7th.
Yeah, but it's easy for us to say that, Julia.
No,
but if
it's
we
not easy
Gaza,
for us to say. It's a fact. They weren't.
If we lived in Gaza ourselves and under the same system as the Gazan population, right, we would probably be rebelling ourselves. Believe me. You know, the thing is, I got friends in the
I'd be rebelling against Hamas, but then I'd probably be killed if I did that.
No, the thing is, this has been going on for decades.
It has.
The thing is, even before Hamas.
But Hamas isn't the solution. A murderous genocidal organization like Hamas isn't the solution. So why do so many British Muslims support Hamas when Hamas uses civilians as human shields? Why do you think that is?
Well, first of all, I need to know. You need to explain to me who was asked and where they were asked. Where did this poll come from? First of all,
I've already said it's from the Henry Jackson Society. It's by a reputable poll company. They've polled Muslims across the country of a representative sample of Muslims by age and demographic.
Julia, that explains it all. Henry Jackson Society Douglas Murray, etc., and they've always been anti-Muslim. Every single discussion they've had up to date has been They are an extremist far-right organization. You look it up.
They're
yourself.
Not a far-right organization.
Of course they are. They are completely
They're anti-extremism. Everyone should be anti-Islamist extremism.
Why do you say Islamic extremism? Any form of extremism
extremism, but we're talking about Islamist extremism in Hamas. That's why I mentioned Islamists.
What about the Netanyahu extremism? What about the Israeli extremism?
I don't like Netanyahu. Most of the people in Israel, by all accounts, according to polls, aren't keen on Netanyahu, but he is a democratically elected, under their system, a prime minister of their country. He may not be for very long.
So was Hamas democratically elected?
Well, they were elected. What was it? 2005 right? was the last election.
Yes, exactly. Well, my point is, we're not saying we support Hamas. We're supporting the safety of innocent civilians.
The question was about: Do you sympathise with Hamas?
No, but my point is, Julia, you don't listen to Henry Jackson Society. You can't have him
on. The poll was carried out by a reputable polling agency, which used to work in Number 10 Downing Street.
Henry Jackson Society, for that explains it all.
You don't get to write the poll or conduct the poll. You just commission the poll because they're interested to know what people think. Channel 4 conducted a similar poll after the 7/7 attacks in 2005 and got remarkably similar results. Do you think Channel 4 are a far-right anti-Muslim organisation?
Look, Julia, the thing is, as we talk today, Henry Jackson Society, that's a no-go for me, believe me. I won't listen to anything what they say.
I'll have to leave it there.
I don't believe a word they say.
I'm out of time, but I really appreciate your call. Thank you for debating with me. I appreciate your getting on the show.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast. Ruthless but fair. Julia Hartley Brewer. Comprehensive coverage of all the news stories that matter to you.
Harder, older, Hartley Brewer.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast from Talk Radio.